Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Chevron Championship, a.k.a. the Women's Masters.
That's
right. I mean, I didn't know they were going to set us right on the ninth hole, but we're sitting right in front at Landry Locker if you want to see how our setup is. This is a big deal, man. This is a privilege to be at. Quite honestly, this might be my favorite setup that we've ever had in the history of Sports Radio 610. If you're just talking about just seeing the action, like you could literally putt from here. And you got an event that is going to be here till 2029. I mean, look at this approach shot right here that's right in front of us. I mean, my goodness, good Lord. I mean, that's right there on the fringe.
I mean, seeing the action, I mean, right where we're sitting is dope enough. But even just walking through here, you can see how it's all laid out. Just really nice, man. And like you mentioned, man, these are the best golfers, some of the best golfers, a lot of them in the world. You know, right here.
I would hope so.
Getting a chance to check it out right here in the backyard, man, you couldn't ask for better.
No, you could not. And we're going to be out here all day. Come by, say hi if you're coming through. If you do want to make it out here, kids are free. Tickets start at $35. They got a nice shuttle, so come by. We're out here at the Chevron Championship, a.k.a. the Women's Masters. It's the first major of the year. $35 gets you in, and it's very spacious. I already see some people consuming alcoholic beverages, which if you're on a golf course, seems par for the course. See what I did there?
Yeah.
So we're a week from the Texans making picks. And Nick Caserio yesterday, I call him Hardo Caserio. He was in a mood. I enjoyed the intensity of Nick Caserio. I will kind of push back. He seems to not know much for someone who knows so much when it comes to definitions. Like, he doesn't know what diva is. He doesn't know what a lot of things mean. I thought that was a little bit interesting.
You're
I thought there was a little bit of lying there.
I don't believe you.
He hates draft ratings. He hates draft rankings. The Stephon Diggs thing, they just don't do things like that. Here is Nick Caserio. If you want to hear Hardo Caserio, here's Nick Caserio talking about the draft.
Yeah, I think anything that's said outside the building is just noise. So it doesn't really affect our focus, our preparation. So, like, we're just focused on our team. We're just focused on improvement, and we're focused on the work. So what people, it's kind of like the draft. Or, you know, we go through the weekend. You know, we're going to have on Monday, right, or Sunday afternoon, draft grades, right? I mean, it's the most ridiculous concept that I've ever heard of. Like, the players haven't even been in the building yet, and we're making an assessment about their performance. It's the same thing in the off season. I mean, nothing is won in the off season. You know, it's all on paper. It's all chatter. Honestly, it's, you know, fun for you guys, I'm sure, to talk about. But our focus is in the building on the things that we can control, which is the work and just continual improvement.
All right, there you go.
Is he serious?
Yeah, I mean, he thinks it's the most ridiculous thing that he's ever heard. Let me, the draft.
I got a couple of questions for Nick Caserio on this. Let me ask you for one thing. Like, how is what we do different fundamentally from what they do? Don't they grade the players themselves?
I don't think so.
We don't know as much as they do.
Yeah.
We're not the experts that they are. Most of the people that are doing the mock
drafts
and the draft assessments and the draft grades, we understand that, and he understands that. But how is it fundamentally different from saying, hey, we've got a second-round grade on this guy, or hey, we wouldn't be willing to take this guy here or there, or we wouldn't be willing to trade to make this trade?
Yeah.
Like, how are the calculations that they make going into their decisions any different from the calculations that the rest of us make in terms of evaluating, critiquing, or even praising?
I think it's hardo gone wrong for Nick.
Come on, Nick.
Like, the whole thing, and I don't want to be, well, that's why you make the big bucks guy, but it kind of is.
Come on, Nick.
You, come on, Nick. I mean, that's the interest in the grading of the players. It's not a verdict.
Come on,
I think that's
it's an opinion,
that's why
dog.
You get paid the big bucks. But yeah, Caserio, he's feeling himself, and quite frankly, he should be. And a week from today, we will be looking ahead, and we'll be looking back. This is going to be a week from today marks one of the most exciting shows that I think we will ever do.
Okay,
because I love me some day two. I love reacting to day one. It's one of the most popular non-actual game sporting events. I think it's the of the year. And just the entire vibe, the entire mood is different. And I'm pumped for it, man. I don't give a damn what Nick Caserio says. We'll be giving our draft grades till the sun don't shine. And hopefully, when they're bad, they end up looking good. And when they're good, they remain good for Nick Caserio. As ridiculous as Hardo Caserio may think that is.
Yeah, so... And I also, some other question for Nick Caserio is, do you not understand, and I know he does, but you do, you know how those jerks are like, whenever they ask you a question or they critique you, they're like, you do know that,
you
right?
You do know that.
All right, Nick Caserio, I gotta do, you do know that. You do know that. The whole reason why we're here, the whole reason why there is so much weight on the job that you do, the whole reason why you do make the salary that you do, why it's so many of us in that room talking to you for so damn long about this, you know, obviously what is effectively just a game, is because people care. And the fact that people care this much allows us all to be able to do what we do. It feeds the machine. This is what it's all about. It's not the silliest thing you ever heard. In fact, it's what infuses the business that we all thrive on to begin with. Come on, dog.
Well, the other thing about it is I'm just hoping, and these are just warning signs. These aren't real things. I'm hoping that if Caserio is going to go into Hardo Patriots mode, I'm hoping there's a little bigger body of work than what we've seen. I'm hoping this like little taste hasn't gotten to where Nick Caserio isn't having press conferences for Stephon Diggs and justifying it. That's very Patriot-esque. That's very Bill O'Brien-esque. And I'm hoping that he's not getting to where he can't embrace, because I think the likability has been something that's happened with Caserio, but to where he can at least embrace what he may have embraced when they weren't good. Now, if you get to a point where you're winning multiple Super Bowls, AFC championships, all that, you can do this. But let's not creep too much over to that Patriot way, because let me put it this way. That yesterday on the stream, Nick Caserio, I think they were the Texans stream. I kind of like monitoring that because you can kind of see the excitement.
Right.
There's probably like 600 at a peak for Caserio. Like CJ got up to, I think, 1,500. But Caserio was like 600. Those people that were watching you, my friend, they care about these draft grades.
Oh, for sure.
So I would be careful in insulting too much of your excited audience. Like you know what you are doing a week from today, right, Nick? You are having a draft party. Like, it's people are going to get excited. So yeah, obviously. Hardo, it has to pay off on the field, but come on, man, we need you there, brother.
And I'm gonna make this point.
Don't lose us, Nick.
I'm gonna make this point not to defend one way or the other, but I do wonder how much of the perception of Nick, how you talked about just now, the Patriot way, and you know, not pissing off the fan or ticking off the fans or whatever the case may be.
Nah, he can do no wrong at this point.
But I do wonder, well, and that's what I'm getting at here, is how much of it does Like, does Nick, because of his personality and his Patriots background and all of that stuff that you just mentioned, how much is he able to kind of deflect from the fact that...
Or he's confident.
But also the fact that this is really D'Amico, too. Like, you think that there's anything happening in that building right now, functionally with the Texans, that doesn't have D'Amico's approval?
Nah.
So like, D'Amico presents differently and also carries a different sort of weight.
Caserio's kind of called himself a moderator.
Background. Yeah.
He's kind of called himself a moderator a couple times.
That might be a better way
Which is kind of like a, I wouldn't call it a transformation, but based on the reputation, I don't think the reputation was always fair, but he doesn't seem opposed to being a moderator. He said it a couple of times.
I'm just saying, both of them went up there this week. D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio both went hardo this week.
Yeah.
And it came off differently when Nick did it.
No doubt. No doubt. We're live out here at the Chevron Championship, a.k.a. The Women's Masters. Come by, say hi. We're at the club at Carlton Woods. We're posted up on the ninth green. It's a lovely scene up
here. Man, this is the scene. This is the look, man.
It's a lovely, lovely scene.
Especially
they're walking.
For a Friday.
Do you think that, and this is me being a golf hack, who I gave up my clubs just because I got so frustrated in the game. Do you think that they should be allowed to use carts? Or do you think the walking adds to it? Because part of me just thinks, okay, let's speed the game up a little bit. You know, all these sports are trying to speed up the game a little bit. How about letting them roll in some carts?
So let me get this straight. You quit golf, presumably because it was too hard.
Correct.
But you're asking if we need to make golf harder?
Like with carts,
do we need to
make it easier?
No, I'm saying, like, if they don't use the, yes, they should use carts. What are you asking me? Should they not use carts?
Well, they're not allowed. They're walking, man. You didn't know this? How much of an amateur are you?
What?
Have you ever seen Tiger Woods in a cart, Brandon?
What?
Dude, this is Figgy. Figgy, dump that.
No carts? Well, that's one reason why I'd never play.
Have you ever seen Tiger Woods in a cart?
Hey, y'all, check out the stream, Sports Radio 610 on YouTube and Twitch. I'm out here with a Scarface hoodie and Nikes and dreadlocks, man. Do I look like I golf?
No, but I thought you knew that Tiger race car. Figgy, just telling you, my man didn't know that they couldn't use carts. Like, what? What are we doing here?
I never asked. I never inquired, Landry. It was never something that I was like, "Hey, man, y'all out there using
So is
carts?
That like the rule? Is that part of the competitiveness?
Yeah, you got to walk, man.
Okay,
I never asked.
You got to walk.
You know, I did cover high school golf years ago, and I got to use a cart. But now that you mention it, I did notice that the kids didn't get to use.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, so I got to...
Now that you mentioned it.
I got to ask this question. I was going to wait till Monday, but I got to ask this question, and I was going to wait for Lopez to answer this, but I know that we're a very diverse show, personality-wise, all that type of stuff. And I just... I've got to ask this, Figgy, because I've noticed something with the helmet that got leaked yesterday. And I want you to – I want all of our and you can call in if you want. 713-572-4610. I just want to do a quick case study. Okay? Not very many shows would do this case study. What, Figgy?
I know where you're going with this.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. There's enough examples to where between talking on the radio yesterday, interacting on Twitter, and the live stream, we got 350 deep yesterday on the live stream, the nightly locker room live stream at 10:30 on YouTube. I do feel like there's a certain demographic that really likes these new helmets that leaked, and I'm not saying that it's a good thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying it does feel like a thing, and I actually think it's great because it's a big part of the demo. I'd like to ask Lopez because I think he's a little more little bit more of an expert on it, but it does feel like that new helmet is popular among that demo. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Figgy, monitor the text line and let us know if I am onto something or not. It does feel like that.
Before we do this though, I just got the race card a minute ago for what I said about me and golf.
Yeah.
The two of y'all both Figgy, come on now. All right.
I'm noticing a theme. Have you noticed it, Figgy, or am I just making this up?
I have noticed it, man.
And this isn't like I have a Hispanic friend type of thing. Every single one of them
look on the back of the pickup trucks.
Oh, come on, man.
The font on the back of the pickup trucks.
Oh, you're talking about the font. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the font. Yeah, for sure. No doubt. 713-572-4610. Am I on to something or not?
Somebody have a couple tattoos, too.
It's always been an underrated demographic of the fan base.
No doubt.
And I think that the Texans were also trying to tap into that on purpose.
Yeah, no doubt.
And it's no coincidence this was a collaborative effort. They talked to Texans fans, and now you see what Texans fans look like. I think you own something.
Little bit of everything.
Yeah.
On the text line, I'm Hispanic. Absolutely love those. Those are fire. I'm getting the jersey day one. Also on the text line, the 832. Yes, you are absolutely correct, Landry. The 713. Yes, I noticed that as well. Not a fan personally, but I've noticed the same thing. So I have seen it. I do want to hear what Lopez has to say when he comes in on Monday. But I do think that is a fair assessment and fair observation for sure.
Yeah, and shout out to the Texans for doing it, honestly. Like, whether you like the uniforms or not, the part that I respect about it the most, and I've had time, I guess now 24 hours or whatever it is, to think about it since those helmets leaked. I thought about it more. I'm like, you know what, this is, whether you like it or not, this is a good thing. You know, the fact that they collaborated and they at least allowed the people, like this, whether you like it or not, this is the voice of the people the people that they reached out to. And at the very least, you should probably respect that.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know. I mean, the helmet is what it is.
Yeah.
It's.
You don't got to lie and say, hey, I'm a big fan if you're
it's
not.
Random.
Or I'm a rocket if you don't want to.
Yeah.
But I do think that you can respect the fact that the process, even though the rollout itself kind of got fumbled, the process into, you know, getting input on what it should actually look like was at least in good faith, I thought.
Yeah, it's. I mean, in that hat that Cal had on when he had to drop the picture, that's gonna be popular.
That was an interesting photo.
Yeah, I kind of
know what to make of that.
Was that his dog?
I would hope so.
I didn't even know he had a dog.
So it took me a couple times looking at the photo. At first, I couldn't tell if he was sitting on the dog's back, but then I looked at it again, and it's obviously he's crouched behind it. But it was just. I don't know if it was the angle or what, but it's like, is he riding the dog? Like I was very confused.
Do you think that Nick Caserio has ever smoked a cigarette?
No, hell no.
Do you think he's ever taken a drink of alcohol?
Taken a drink of alcohol? I got a hard time believing he's made it this far without ever taking a drink of alcohol.
I think he did before.
I'm sure he's consumed alcohol at some point in his life.
Because I was just imagining he might as well.
Not a cigarette.
He might as well have had a heater lit up yesterday the way he was talking.
just blowing it in the media type's face.
No chance that man.
Each time he spoke.
No chance.
I've never smoked a cigarette. Not one.
It's cool.
Ever. Done worse. Never touched a ciggy.
Yeah. Done that and worse.
Oh, yeah. You probably kind of smell you right now, B-Scott. Smell that heater on you right now, my friend.
Man. Hey, wherever you are, wherever you go, there you are.
We're live at the, we're getting a lot of support on this this observation. We'll talk to Lopez about this next week for sure. Coming up next, and we're live at the LPGA Chevron Championship 53rd edition. Come by. We're at the club at Carlton Woods. It is an awesome event. It's going to be here for a long, long time through 2029. Coming up next, so dysfunction behind the scenes. Let's pretend that the Texans are fighting behind the scenes on draft day. Bobby Slowick in one corner, Nick Caserio in the other, D'Amico in the other. What does dysfunction or chaos look like behind the scenes when it comes to them? And does Cal McNair, Duke Cal and Hannah factor in to that equation? In the Loop continues next.
Biggie, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
All the jokes are coming fast and furious every time y'all talk about this guy.
With Landry Locker.
Landry, I mean, you're going to be in midday forever now.
And John Lopez.
On occasion, Lopez makes a statement that's so ludicrous, it makes me pick my phone up and call you guys.
You're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader.
Your champ, 610.
Sports Radio 610.
So we have uniform leaks with the Houston Texans. Did the looniest NFL player in recent history perhaps put the final uppercut in the league at 20? But I got to wonder. I used to work at FedEx back in my day. Shout out to our UPS folks. Shout out to our FedEx folks. Shout out to our factory workers. The helmet leak yesterday, and by the way, my man's reflection was right in the helmet. So, I mean, there's really no hiding when you're taking a picture of a helmet in that shiny-ass helmet and it's coming back at you. Did someone you think actually, in today's economy, that's a mofo, especially if you're working at a place like FedEx or UPS, and one of our listeners, Scott, actually brought this up. He's been at UPS for 34 years. Shout out to you, my friend. Did someone really risk losing their job just to put out a little photo of a helmet on the internet? Is that where we're at?
It's like, how dumb are you really? Because, I mean, you're risking your job. You're risking litigation. I mean, you could be the target of things that you haven't even considered, but probably at the very least should have thought, you know what? Maybe I should, if I do want to get a sneak peek, if I want to, why don't I just leak it to myself? Why don't I just look?
Yeah, just hold on to it.
Why would I share it with the public?
Yeah, and the other thing is this. So, if you, I'm sure there's a lot of people who've lost jobs before.
Yeah.
And there's reasons, and there's a lot of people who lose a job, and you can talk about it, and it might have been situational. Maybe you didn't get along with the boss. Maybe, I don't know, just wasn't the right situation for you. You weren't in the right headspace, like all that. You can kind of explain it. But if you're a factory worker, shout out to all the factory workers. Seriously, nothing but love for you guys. And enjoy this time, because I know that once the season comes around and we're talking Christmas season, it's crazy for you. You're probably still recovering from that. But how do you go from one factory to another? And when you put the reason that you left your job, it's because you posted a picture of confidential gear and it went on social media. Like, how do you find another gig for doing that?
Let's be honest here. Okay. Can we, it's just us here talking, just the in the loop, the loopholes talking here. If you were dumb enough to do this and you were put in the situation that you just described, would you be honest enough to be specific about why you got fired from your job?
They're gonna ask, right?
They need to do the work. I am not volunteering. I'm just going to be honest with y'all, man. I am not volunteering specifically. Hey, look, we it just didn't work out. We just parted ways. I'm pretty sure that dude is an at-will employee. Pretty sure he doesn't have a contract. He ain't got to be that specific, man. I wouldn't. I'm going to tell you, man, I would not be like, hey, I'm the. You know what? Hire me. I happen to be the dumbest guy in the world.
We got the crazy gallery coming up right now. You can tell that the number one golfer is heading our way when you look at that.
Yep.
Golf crowd right there. Goodness gracious!
It feels kind of intense, man.
Yeah, it's Nelly Korda coming through, and she's from Florida. She's apparently pretty big deal, and you can kind of tell she's got like a tiger gallery. We're live, by the way, at the Chevron Championship 53rd edition here in H-Town, and you got the media here. You can tell she's coming through, and we'll get the we'll have the front row view right here. Ooh. But I just wonder, like, how do you? I mean, you're getting. It's one thing to steal boxes, but it's a complete another thing to post a picture of the helmet.
It's clear that dude does not understand reflection. Like, if he at all considered that a helmet reflects and they can actually see me in this, like, this is not a jersey.
The other thing is there's probably cameras in the factory. So, it's like, I'm assuming that when you're that type of stuff is going through a factory that they wouldn't. There's cameras right there that can see you.
Risking your job is one thing, and maybe, like, I'll even give him the benefit of the doubt. Actually, I won't because he's an idiot. But he might even know where the cameras are. Maybe he knows something about the camera system where he works that we don't. But what I do know is helmets, especially the dark colored ones, reflect.
The guy said, and I guess a guy posted it, and he said something like, "Yeah, my boy works at the factory and saw this." And I'm like, "You snitch. Yo, you're even worse."
Yikes.
You're even worse.
Yikes.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Controversy in the Texans war room. What does that look like? Nick Caserio, Hardo Caserio, spoke yesterday, and he was asked about the communication between he and the rest of his staff. And here was Nick Caserio's description of what that is like. And it got me thinking, what exactly does controversy look like at 42? Here's Nick Caserio.
We're not trying to get to a point where we just agree on everything, but we're trying to get to a point where we see players similarly. We envision the role similarly. We're never going to force a player on a coach because it's unfair to really anybody involved. So we're not going to make decisions in a vacuum. We're going to take all the information in. We're going to aggregate as much information as possible. And ultimately, D'Amico and I will sit down and go through it and then figure out, like, what decision makes the most sense. So maybe it's, okay, if we have a group of four players, we're comfortable with one of the four players. Okay, so then ultimately we're going to have to make a decision there. But there's a lot of dialogue and a lot of discussion back and forth. It's ongoing. We've actually had a couple follow-up meetings once we kind of got through the first wave. hey, take a look at this group, six or eight players. Hey, can you do a informal Zoom call with them? We're just trying to get more information. Then we'll come back. Hey, how'd it go? Well, we had a question about this. What did you think? So we're aggregating a lot of information, and there's a lot of dialogue. I mean, D'Amico's probably sick of me walking into his office every day, but literally we talk about players. We talk about the team on a day-to-day basis. So it's all about communication. So you can't over-communicate in situations like this. You're making big decisions on behalf of the organization. So I'm just trying to kind of steer it in the right direction and be a steward and, you know, be supportive of everybody and be receptive to, you know, everybody's opinion. At some point, we got to draw the line somewhere. But hopefully we're identifying the right people for the organization. We see the vision. We see the role. But their information and input is certainly valued without question.
Okay. There you go. So let's pretend we get to 42. And let's pretend that the Texans have a disagreement when it comes to who to pick. Let's say Bobby Slowick wants I don't know, a tight end, a receiver, or a running back.
Yeah, offensive player.
Let's say D'Amico wants a defensive guy. Let's say Caserio's somewhere in the middle. Is Caserio the one that steps in and says, all right, we got to go this way, at the risk of ticking off either one of his guys?
No.
Do they have to come to some sort of agreement? Because he says they're not trying to agree. Or I think where you're heading is D'Amico gets to say what goes, and that's the final word, and no one can do a damn thing about it.
Not only that, I'll even go a step further and say that in some cases, all right, like I think maybe in some cases, maybe even like the referee could change. But ultimately, it's going to be D'Amico. But when he says, I go back to the beginning part of that where he says, we're not going to force a player on a coach. Well, I feel like that means that neither Caserio or D'Amico is going to force an offensive player on Bobby Slowick, right? So, like, if Bobby Slowick's not feeling the player, I wonder how that works. Does D'Amico gets the power, but between, like, say, Nick and Bobby, if Nick likes the player or Nick, you know, Nick likes the player and Bobby doesn't, then D'Amico's, I feel like, is going to defer to Bobby and say, hey, Nick, we're not going to get that player. Bobby's not feeling them. You know what I mean? So I think not only does D'Amico have the say, but he even gets to be the referee in this case.
We are sitting right here, and the number one golfer in the world is about to hit an approach shot right in front of us. She's currently tied for second. She's sitting at minus four. Nelly Korda, excuse me. She is about to hit an approach shot, and she's got a hell of a crew with her.
Yeah, man.
And I'm actually kind of intrigued to see how this goes. Let's go a little golf here, a little Jim Nance.
Yeah, man.
Man, she's thinking about the club right now. Got her caddy. She's probably, how far out is she? Can we estimate? What is that, like 160, 170?
Yeah, something like that.
She's got some water to her right. She's feeling it out. She's waiting for her, she's waiting for the other girl to hit. The other girl doesn't seem as comfortable as she does.
Well, because she's not hurt.
Might be intimidated. Remember the Tiger intimidation back in the day?
Yeah, yeah. What happened to that?
I don't think that Nelly Korda is going to have side pieces. I don't know.
Oh, come on, man.
I'm just saying. That's kind of where Tiger's downfall happened.
Hey, man, when you get to the top, man.
Man, here you go. Look at this warm-up cut right here. I know everybody loves some. Oh man, she's kind of got a tough lie here, though. I don't know about this one. This ain't Korda, though. So this is kind of. Oh yeah, she's going low. She's trying to run it up like me. Oh, okay, she did it right here on the fringe. Okay, not bad. Can't hate on that. Now we're about to get the real deal. Nelly Korda right here. Let's see what a number one swing looks like just right here. Look at that perfect drive. Just right here we go. The approach. Oh my gosh, she's gonna stick this, isn't she? Right here at the boom. Oh yeah. Be putting for birdie when we come back. Kelly Korda, come out. Nelly Korda. I keep saying Kelly. Come out. We're live at the LPGA Chevron Championship, 53rd edition. out here. Hell of an experience. What does a disagreement look like between Bobby, Nick, D'Amico? B. Scott says D'Amico gets final word. But coming up next, the many lives of Justin Verlander. We're going to see the next one play out. What should we expect as the seven-year relationship between Justin Verlander and the Astros has continued? What should we expect? And is Brandon Scott taking it too far? Does Brandon Scott need to be talked to by It's Early guy? We'll discuss next.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It.
Don't you know I'm local?
You're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader. Sports Radio 610.
All right, so we got the next phase of the life of Justin Verlander.
It's intriguing.
Begins tonight. Astros taking on the Nationals. Justin Verlander going to be on the bump. The Astros not in a good place right now. They've been swept 3 times through 20 games. They got swept 4 times all last season. Pitching kind of worn down a little bit, and now you have a future Hall of Famer and a man that was a pivotal piece of a couple of World Series championships coming in. Now, I will ask you this. What's realistic to expect from my man? Because he's 41 years old. You let him go. I thought it was financially responsible. You let him go to the Mets. The thought that it was financially responsible was confirmed by the Mets because you got him back for way cheaper.
Yep.
And now here he is. And because of where the Astros currently are, I almost feel that it's natural to expect this 41-year-old Justin Verlander to come in and just save the day.
Right.
Which I don't think is fair.
Yeah, I don't think he can save the day because the problems are just so much bigger than what Justin Verlander can provide to you. Certainly if Justin Verlander was still, you know, 2019 Justin Verlander or Justin Verlander 2 years ago, you would feel differently about it. You'd be like, hey, I'm adding an ace to the staff, right? But this current iteration of Justin Verlander, to expect him to come in and be the savior is an unrealistic expectation or an unfair expectation. But I would say this, though. I think it helps highlight the strategy or lack thereof from the front office and not adding a back end of the rotation starter, because that's what they did at the trade deadline last year by trading for Justin Verlander. Justin Verlander is supposed to be that back of the mid to rotation, back of the rotation guy, and the ones who were supposed to step up and be healthy, obviously, were going to be Framber Valdez, Christian Javier, Jose Urquidy somewhere in the mix, but you also expected a jump from Hunter Brown. And then, of course, Luis Garcia, all these other guys that you got. Lance McCullers is hurt, but you expected for Justin Verlander to be somewhere in the middle to the back end of that rotation. I've been pretty critical of them for not addressing that, but perhaps that's exactly what Justin Verlander was always supposed to be. We're going to have to recalibrate how we view him and not take it with the, you know, the two Cy Youngs that he's won here and all that kind of thing. Like, it's got to be, no, this is giving us some depth at the back end of the rotation that we actually could really use.
I mean, you look at just the phases. You go back to 17,
yeah.
Dallas Keuchel after the trade deadline calls out Jeff Luhnow. Disappointment's an understatement. Then the weird ass, and that the second trade deadline goes down, yep. The final day of August, and Justin Verlander decides at the last minute to come to Houston. The Astros do what they've never done. They win the World Series. Justin Verlander is one of the saviors. He's one of the faces of the whole thing. And then you knock on the window a couple of times after that. 2019 wins the Cy Young, although maybe Gerrit Cole deserved it, whatever. And then he hangs around, win another World Series. You let him go, and now here he is, 41 years old, and it's welcome, but I also don't know how long you can really expect it, because the arm is wild, and we've already seen Justin Verlander maybe not be capable to start the season like maybe he would like. So that's the other thing is, how long is this going to last? What's it going to look like? How long is it going to take him to get it going?
Well, I mean, it's going to be extremely disappointing if Justin Verlander can't at least live up to what, let's say, J.P. France is, or what Hunter Brown is, or what, you know, any of the guys on the back end. Obviously, Ronel Blanco has been a pleasant surprise. But what, you know, what these rookies that they've thrown out there, Spencer, Getty, guys like that, like he's, you still expect, while it's not glory days Justin Verlander, you still expect for it to be a certain quality that's past that. What's real interesting to me, because you just mentioned it, is just how close it was to not happening both times. Like you talked about how it was the last minute trade in the beginning, and then he actually left. Like, yeah. He actually left, and then the question there is, what if it actually works out for the Mets? Because they didn't just sign Justin Verlander, right? Like, they went, they got the richest owner in sports, certainly in baseball, I think the richest owner in sports.
Yeah, but he ain't spending bread no more.
Yeah, but exactly. Well, and this is why. And that's another thing, to localize it. Justin Verlander is part of the reason why, because he spent a lot of money on some older pitchers that were ailing and was relying on them to do more than they actually should be called upon to do at this point. Like, I don't think we, whenever we discuss it, probably take enough into account of how taxing it is to have a Cy Young season after you recover from Tommy John.
No, and
you
know what I mean? Like, it only takes one setback.
Yeah, I mean, what that means, like, the wear and tear of that is, I feel like, significant, and we're seeing it. But it doesn't mean that he can't be Hunter Brown.
And I'm not bringing this up to buzzkill any Astros fan. I appreciate it. The only reason I bring this up is because I think just the fact that we're even having any discussion, from whether it's best case scenario to worst case scenario to middle scenario to realistic expectations, just the fact that at 41 you're even having this discussion, like there's not a lot of Roger Clemens and there's not a lot of Nolan Ryans. It doesn't typically work that way. So just the fact that we're even talking about, you know, any sort of expectations for Justin Verlander is impressive and something you want to appreciate. I'm just not sure that too many Astros fans want to freaking hear that, because you've been to seven straight ALCSs, and that's probably not, you know, a little feel-good story from some jamoke like me is probably not what you want to partake in at this point.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Let me ask you this. As bad as it is 20 games in, is it even fair to have, like, should Justin Verlander be more of a symbol of hope rather than expectation, given how bad it is? Because what are you allowed to expect when you're this bad
of a
baseball team?
You know what Justin Verlander is? Justin Verlander is, and this is pretty sad, but Justin Verlander is almost just a reminder of the past. For me right now, that's what he is, and that's sad.
Yeah, that's very.
But if he becomes more than that, that's cool. But for me, he is a reminder of the past, and he's a reminder of just gutting it out for the Astros over a seven-year stretch, and whatever it looks like, it looks like. And I think in moments like this, I don't think being reminded of the past is the worst thing to have, especially with all the warning signs we have that the past is getting pushed further and further back, potentially, with the way this baseball team is built, with the way this baseball team functions, with how many cooks there are in the kitchen. I don't mind being reminded of the past.
No, but I would say, just in terms of the expectation versus the hope, beggars can't be choosers, and we're beggars right now. Like, we're beggars right now at this point.
I feel like you're more desperate for this. Like, you're treating this series like it's
no,
do or die.
Well, the series is its own thing, but specifically with Justin Verlander, we're not in a position, given his age and given how bad the team is, we're not in a position, because it's not 2019 Justin Verlander, it's not 2022 Justin Verlander, it's 2024 41-year-old Justin Verlander, and it's the 6-14 Houston Astros that are reeling. We are beggars, not choosers at this point. We'll take what you can give us. It's more hope than expectation. We're not in a position to expect much. That's where we are right now. It's really the same thing that you're saying, more of a symbol of the past. Man, we hope this old guy who used to be great can still be good, because right now we are not. That's how I feel about it.
So right now, like, if you just do the math and you're saying, okay, I want the Astros to to win the division. I want him to get in the postseason. I think the least amount of wins last year in the postseason, because the dangerous thing about the about baseball is a lot of times if you're in a division that's not good, and this division is not bad, it's actually more difficult to be a wild card squad than win the division. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So 89 games. Let's get ahead of ourselves here, and let's just look at this big picture. So last year, 89 games got you into the playoffs. I think Toronto won 89 games. Right now, you're 6-14. So that means you would have to go, if that holds up, and the Astros ended up winning 90 and winning the division, and the Rangers won 90 and they got in the playoffs too. But that would mean that you would have to play 21 games above 500 baseball for the remainder of the season. Mm. I mean, even if you're looking at the Astros right now, do you feel like this team over the final, whatever, 7/8 of the season can play 23 games over 500 baseball? That's what a slow start does for you.
Yeah, I mean, that's a rough expectation. Do I think that they have they still have dynamic enough of a lineup to do it? Like, if you go look at the offensive stats, I know we talk about them not coming up big with runners in scoring position and the lack of timely hitting and how frustrating that's been. But if you go look at the numbers, the Astros are right there in the thick of it with the elite baseball teams offensively. It's this dicey situation with the pitching. Could I see the offense at times carrying games for them? Like, we talked about this. Like, it's like they got to score 8 runs to win a game for the most part.
Or have
a dude throw a no-hitter.
You would have to go – you would have to – you can lose 73 games. So you could lose 63 more games.
Yeah.
In that world, I think. I don't know. I mean, you got to play 20 games over 500 ball.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm not trying to.
It's tough, especially based off of what we've seen so far. Like, we've seen runs. You know, the St. Louis Cardinals had one a couple of years ago that was pretty like historic. But it's a lot to ask. It's a whole lot to ask.
Coming up, is it too much to ask to hear from Stephon Diggs and hear about Stephon Diggs from the guys who made the moves? Am I asking for too much? Maybe I am. Let's hear from Nick Caserio, who finally. My goodness, been a damn near a month. He finally spoke on Stephon Diggs, and quite frankly, it led to more questions than answers. Let's hear from him next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.